I'm just going to go ahead and apologize for all the ski instructor talk in my conversation with Nelly. I'm really excited to introduce Nelly to you today. She is going to be presenting at our upcoming summit, which you have been hearing all about. And Nelly is so amazing because she is working really hard to talk about safety, risk management, risk assessment, all of those things to make outdoor activities safe for families. And we talk a lot about skiing in our conversation because we're both ski instructors and that's just what we do. But a lot of what we talk about can also translate to anything that you do in the outdoors, whether it be going on a backpacking trip or traveling abroad for an epic adventure like we got going on my calendar this year. But I think you're going to really like my conversation with Nelly. I think you're going to like getting to know her, learning about her. And then I think you're going to have a new appreciation for what women like her are doing to try to just shake up the old school outdoor industry and spread some new ideas out there. So I won't delay this conversation anymore. Hope you enjoy my conversation with Nelly. And if you want to learn more about our upcoming virtual summit, please head to our website, hikelikeawoman.com. Tell us about your background in the outdoors and how you got started, like making sure that you're raising this amazing outdoor family.
Oh my gosh, there's so much to talk about. Let me try to narrow it down. So I was blessed to be raised by a father who got me outdoors often, hiking and biking. Skiing was the number one thing we loved to do together. And so when my parents got divorced, I was only 8. And he made sure that when we had our weekends together, that's what we did. You know, he took the time to spend the whole day with me, whether we went mountain biking or skiing or hiking. It was always an adventure. And of course, you know, as a child, I didn't realize how great that was, what a huge benefit that was to my growth and development, you know, and my relationship with my father. We're really close to this day. And, you know, and then I got older and I did start to notice, especially in college, you know, when I wasn't going out and doing those things with parents quite as much and didn't have as many friends that wanted to go do them. And so I started to realize that not everybody gets outdoors all the time, that this isn't like a normal lifestyle for a lot of people. It was a bit disheartening, to be honest, because that's when I really started realizing how much I had was reaping from spending that time outdoors. And college was very stressful. I thought I was going to be a teacher, but because I wanted to work with kids, but I realized pretty quickly that working in a classroom was not going to work for me. I'm a little more experiential than that. I'm very much a promoter of adventure therapy and experiential learning. And I knew the classroom was just going to be too limiting for me. So interestingly enough, I actually switched over to psychology and focused more on child development and behavioral therapy and the adventure therapy side of things, which really drew me in. And then lucky me, my senior year in college, my mom, bless her heart, which she may regret this at this point, I don't know, but she enrolled me as a birthday gift. She paid for me to enroll in a college course that was actually an instructor training course up at Timberline Lodge on Mount Hood. And I did the course just for the fun of it. I wasn't intending on being an instructor right away. I was still in my senior year of college. But it was so much fun. I mean, the 2 weekends I had on the mountain, just meeting the people involved, you know, the ski industry is a unique environment. And the people on the mountain, they really become like your family. And so I was sucked in immediately and I wanted to spend every day up there. Of course, I couldn't because I was going to school 2 hours away. But they offered me a job and I decided to go ahead and work on the weekends. So I started as a part-time instructor my senior year in college. And then when I graduated, I went and got a real job, you know, one of those. And, you know, I actually did enjoy my work. I was a private behavioral therapist working with families who had autistic children. And so I was still working with kids and the therapy I was doing did allow me to get them outdoors, which was really nice. And it was something that I tended to do and the other therapists didn't. Again, you know, had that moment of, wow, you know, this isn't kind of a natural direction for all people. Anyways, I did that for a year and it was both mentally and physically exhausting. So I wasn't sure if I wanted to continue. And lo and behold, I got a call from the ski school up at the mountain asking if I wanted to be the children's program director.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
I mean, this was like my dream job, you know, working with kids in the outdoors in a supervisor position, which I knew could be more year round. You know, ski industry, it's hard to get work year round. So I jumped on the chance, even though I was living 2 hours away. I made that commute for 6 months, 4 hours round trip daily.
Ooh, it was in the winter.
In the winter. Yeah. It was an adventure, but I just really, you know, wanted to be a part of that. And I didn't have the opportunity to move anytime soon. So long story short, I became a full-time ski instructor, not long out of college. And it was probably 4 years in that people were asking me, okay, you know, when are you going to get that real job again? And I decided after getting married to start a family. And so that shifted me into mama mode, and I decided to be a full-time stay-at-home mom. And, you know, we were living off a very, very, very tight income. And so we had to make a lot of sacrifices, and I wasn't sure we'd be able to keep skiing, but I knew from my experience growing up that I really wanted to raise a ski family. I was going to do whatever it took. So we moved up to the mountain, which was great. And I started working part-time because Timberline has a great program. I only had to teach 18 days out of the entire season. And my whole family got season passes. So that was a huge benefit as a part-time instructor. So I kept that going for years through, well, let's see, three pregnancies. Because I worked through all three of them. I did take one winter off with a newborn. He was born December 3rd. So I thought I should kind of chill out that winter.
That was right.
It was not good snowfall. So I didn't miss out.
What a great, right? Like the universe was like, hey, let's give you a baby.
The universe was like, thank you. But other than that, I have been hauling those kids and my family up to the mountain for years now. Now, they're not little anymore.
Yeah.
They're 15, 19, and 21. So my little rippers, can't believe it. It's weird. My little rippers have grown into big rippers. So now, you know, I'm looking back and I have over 23 years experience as a ski instructor, specializing in working with children and families together. I love getting parents out on the hill and teaching them to teach their own kids, because I really do believe, as much as I love teaching, you know, kids want to spend the weekends with their parents. And it's such a bonding experience that I decided I really wanted to support those mamas like me. And now dads, you got lots of dads getting out now with their kids. I decided I wanted to take all the knowledge I had gained over these last 23 years, both working as an instructor and raising my own three skiers and snowboarders, and see what I could do to take that information and put it out there online. Initially, I thought I would be helping parents teach their kids beginner skills. But it's been 6 years now, sorry, 7 years since I launched this. And I've really taken a lot of time to get to know what it is that parents are really looking for. I've done a few surveys, you know, I communicate with my audience a lot. And what I've found is that when I talk about skills, people are interested, but mostly when I talk about risk management, the conversation spikes. Everybody has said to me at some point, not enough people are talking about this. Can we talk about it more? And then I kind of had a revelation, to be honest. You know, if I think about the many years I've worked in the ski industry, both as an employee and as a customer, I can look at the entire situation and I realize that there's definitely a gap. There's a gap between what we want people to know and them actually knowing it. And I think I thought over the years that gap would be filled, but it just hasn't. And so that's my goal now, is to fill that gap, starting with families, because I do believe that we're raising up the next generation. And if we can instill risk management habits at those younger years, then it's like wearing a seatbelt or looking both ways to cross the street. You know, you don't think twice about it. It's just habit as an adult. So that's where I'm at. You know, I'm taking all the risk management goodies. And I'm bringing them to light.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to unpack a few things, Nelly. This is amazing. Yeah. Thank you for sharing your extensive background in the ski industry.
A lot.
I grew up in a ski town. I'm a skier, former competitive biathlete and Nordic skier, but of course I downhill ski too, because why not? And and I'm a PSIA certified Nordic instructor. So I teach a lot of cross-country ski lessons. And I love the structure of like USSA coaching certification and PSIA coaching certification. But I will say that there is a huge gap just in the ski instructor curriculum surrounding risk assessment and risk management. So if we're not even teaching professional ski instructors how to assess, manage, and mitigate risk, how is the average parent even supposed to know about that?
I would agree with that 100%. And that's interesting because one of the things originally I thought about potentially working with the ski schools, because I can tell you how many times I've been on a lesson and perhaps I spent 2 hours with a 9-year-old. And we've been able to actually manage getting on the chairlift. So they've taken their first run on beginner hill. And then mom comes to pick them up. Mm-hmm. And maybe even mom's learning too. Mom might have just got out of a lesson. And mom wants to take her child over to the ski lift. And she's like, how do I get them on and off? How do I make sure we do this safely? Well, I literally have 5 minutes to get to my next lesson. There's no way I can download all that information. And generally, you know, the attitude is just, oh, send them off. They'll figure it out. It'll be fine.
Right.
But, you know, I can think of any other industry we do that in. And for a parent, that's really nerve-wracking. You know, it's one thing to put yourself in a risky situation and, and maybe have to try to figure it out as you go. But no parent really wants to knowingly put their child in a risky situation without having the management skills they need to help if they need to or do that successfully. So I thought, wouldn't it be great if instructors had this little, you know, these app-based lessons that they could just use as a resource? And that way I could say to that parent, gosh, I wish I had time to run you over there and take a run with you, but I don't. Here's a really quick lesson. You can open this app and it's accessible, you know, right there on the mountain. It's quick and easy and fun. And it gives them all those basic need to know skills and knowledge to then go do that with a little more confidence, you know? So I do think there's definitely an opportunity to use some resources, create some resources that work both with the ski school and with the customers and back and forth. Yeah. And absolutely, like when we know better, we can do better, right? Like when we have more knowledge, we can make better decisions. That's just the bottom line. So it's that knowledge gap that we need to fill. You know, how do we get this information out there in a, I would say from the research I've done, because I have asked a lot of people, it needs to be in a short, quick, fun, easy to access resource. And so that's why I'm focusing now on an app.
That's so cool. I can't wait. I'm gonna download it, use it, share it, all the things. So keep me posted
I will, for sure. And I'm really glad. I just have to say this. I'm really glad to hear that you see that gap too. I mean, not that I'm totally surprised, but because anyone I talk to in the industry always says yes. They're shaking their head as soon as I bring it up. But to be honest, I haven't really talked to a lot of instructors. Most of the people I've talked to have been, you know, management of the resorts, you know, upper management. I haven't talked to a lot of instructors. And you know, you've been teaching long enough, you know, you see where those gaps lie too, right?
Yeah. And that's not to knock on like our ski instructor governing body at all. Like PSIA, I think is fantastic. USSA coaching license. Like, I think it's really, at least from the Nordic side, you know, that's where I have all my training and education and expertise. But, you know, I just don't think the risk management starts with navigating the icy parking lot. know, like sometimes that is the most dangerous part of any lesson I teach is like getting across the parking lot. But it's just, it's things we think about as ski instructors because we don't want our students to be injured or have a negative experience, but it's not something that is like trained curriculum.
Well, I think I'm finding two things. One is that, because I totally agree. I love, you know, all the systems we have currently in place have created a really mm-hmm. wonderful program. I mean, we've got ski instructors all over the country that are all working together, you know, with a common goal. Mm-hmm. But what I found is the turnover is so high, and you probably maybe see that in your section too. The turnover is so mm-hmm. high that it's really hard to have consistency in training and curriculum. And mm-hmm. it's a turnover not just amongst instructors, but also amongst management. I mean, you can have a new ski school director every 3 years. You know, that's not uncommon. Mm-hmm. And so that consistency, I think, gets tricky. And so I'd actually love to work with PSIA to create something that could be promoted more across the board, you know? And that's really my goal here is can we find something that's universal enough that when a family mm-hmm. goes to one resort and they see, you know, mm-hmm. ride family risk management, they know what that is because they have that at that resort too. You know, the resorts could really benefit. I like the idea of getting the insurers on board.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Companies, like I can imagine a world in which the insurance companies support resorts who promote risk management resources for their customers. Because really it's just right?
Yeah, that's amazing. That's a whole different, like that. I just sold my ski shop. I owned a ski shop. I just sold it last month. And oh man, don't even get me started on insurance companies. Oh, crazy. But I would have loved it if they, because we taught lessons through our ski shop. So I would have loved it if my insurance company would have been like, okay, you have this and this and this and this. You're going to get a discount on your policy. I would have been like, thank you. You just saved me $500,000.
Right. Yeah. Like insurance is not cheap and it can actually put a lot of businesses under. Mm-hmm. A lot of programs can't afford it. But I know the resorts, like they'll take, you know, any sort of discount. I mean, my goodness, on insurance, are you kidding me? Some sort of incentivization to actually make it a little more affordable, you know, and it really only benefits everyone in the long run. I believe that the more knowledge is out there, the safer the slopes are going to be for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're focused on skiing, which is great. We love skiing. We should have a sister site that ski like a woman, but how does the risk management that you're talking about and that you're prepared, like, how does this incorporate just not into skiing? So I think risk management is like a daily thing. But how does it have other applications for other outdoor activities as well?
Well, you know, when it comes to risk management, some of the stuff is pretty broad, like spatial awareness. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something we want kids to be aware of their environment, aware of where they are in that space. So, you know, that a great risk management skill, excuse me, for taking kids hiking too, right? Like facial awareness around the cliffs and stuff like that and where they are on the trail. And so I definitely think that risk management as a whole, you know, it carries through all of the outdoor recreation that we do. Mm-hmm. I found that, you know, as far as skiing goes, I feel like there's a lot of little things that come up within skiing as a recreation. Seem to be more abundant than in other activities. And I'm not sure why that is. I wouldn't necessarily say it's a riskier environment than maybe going mountain biking or hiking, but there's a lot of other variables that come into play. Like the simple fact that a lot of people don't know that the bar that comes down on the chair is for comfort and not for safety. You know, that's a very it seems like a simple piece of information, but a lot of people don't know that. They think it's a safety bar. They call it a safety bar, but it's not designed to keep them safe. It's designed to keep them comfortable. So we've got all these other variables, you know, these big machines and, you know, even being out on the hill, like where we are, we have to deal with the snowmaking machines. Like there's rules about how far to stay away from those, you know, versus like, when you're paddleboarding and you're out on the lake, there is still risk management, right? But the risks don't There's not as many variables. They don't come with so many pieces. So I kind of feel like skiing is kind of like ballet, you know, it's like the foundation. Like if you got good risk management skills on the ski hill, then those are going to carry out into all these other outdoor recreation activities, right? I do hope to eventually extend this beyond just skiing and snowboarding. And personally, I think we're kind of lacking in the area of mountain biking also, especially now that so many people mountain bike at the resorts. So I can see potential, you know, to bring on some other mamas who have some experience in some of these other coaching areas. I guarantee they've got risk management skills and ideas that I've probably never even heard of myself.
Yeah, with skiing, I'm visualizing the runs that my family is going to take tomorrow on the mountain. And I'm like, high speed. There's like, there's the lift, the post that you can run into. There's ever changing snow conditions, visibility conditions, other people on the mountain, people going at different speeds. People
did just you get new speeds around. This year? Are they longer than last year? And you're not quite sure how to make them turn, you know, like.
And they are. And what's your DIN setting? Like all is your equipment, like the right equipment for you and your, or did you just borrow some stuff from a friend and hope it works? And you're absolutely 100% right about skiing being, having just a little bit more.
Got a lot of pieces.
A little bit more to it.
Yes.
And I guess for the people that might be really nervous about skiing, maybe try cross-country skiing first, because I feel like that is a much, like snowshoeing is like the safest thing you can do on the snow in the winter. And then you step up to cross-country skiing and then go downhill skiing and snowboarding.
Right.
And then like maybe work your way up with the winter sport.
Although you should see me on cross country skis, it's pretty hilarious. I'm one of those downhill skiers that thought I could throw on some cross country skis and master it like no problem, and then landed on my face about every 2 feet.
Yeah, because you're like, where's my edges, right?
Where's my edges? How do I stop? Why am I not turning? Why does this tiny little hill look like a black diamond?
Why is my heel not attached?
This is not right.
I love it.
We still go out and do it though. My kids loved it. We had such a good time that we decided we'll make that a tradition every year too.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad. It's good to know how to do all ski disciplines. You're going to be presenting at our summit, and we've already talked a lot about what you do and how you got started. Can you just give us a quick, like 60-second overview of your talk at our summit and like a little sneak peek?
Yeah. So, I mean, really, when it comes down to it, my talk is about benefits of introducing children to risky play.
Yeah. And,
I mean, risky play is super important. And we're talking about risk management and managing the risk, but we're not really talking about how important it is to go out and play in a risky environment, not only for us, right, as adults, but especially for children. So I want to talk about that and how engaging in that activity with their parents is really the best way for them to have such experiences. And how parents, as parents, we hold the key to empowering them for a lifetime by fostering those essential risk management skills. That's really what it's all about.
I love that. My husband and I often joke that we want to do risky things with our children because we don't want to have those kids that are like 18 out at some bonfire drinking beer with their friend. And they're like, hey, hold my beer while I jump off this cliff. Or we figure that exposing them to these risky activities prevents them, hopefully, from doing really stupid things as teenagers. We can only hope, right?
I was going to say we can only hope. And I think that's really... it was probably about 10 years ago that I had this epiphany as I was sending my youngest out with the freestyle team, and it had snowed. Yeah. It was a deep, deep snow day. Uh-huh. And, you know, they go out and they ride hard. Yeah. And he was young, and, you know, there is a coach with them, but the kids are buddied up and they're supposed to keep an eye on each other in the trees. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know as a parent that's a tough one for kids. You know, they even when they think they're watching each other, they're really not, you know, they, they really don't think anything could happen, and we're out having fun, you know, what could possibly go wrong? And so, you know, I was really anxious as the parent that morning, sending him out on the hill, just hoping that, you know, everything went well and he came home safely. And I've had moments as a parent where I've really kind of second guessed my choice to introduce my kids to so many risky activities because I hadn't really thought about the fact that they were going to grow up and they were going to hit, I have three boys, you know, I knew they were going to hit those 20 some year old years where, you know, notoriously on the ski hill, that's when they're most at risk.
Absolutely.
And I thought to myself, okay, what do I do? Do I just stop doing all these activities with them and keep them in a bubble at home? You know? Obviously that wasn't an option. I really do believe, and I think this comes from my background in child development and adventure therapy. The risk is always going to be there, but it's risky to even get in your car and drive to the store. And so what do we do with that, right? Like, all we can do, the best we can do, is learn to mitigate those risks. And so instead of removing us from the environment, my goal became to empower them with all the risk management knowledge I could possibly instill in them so that hopefully by the time they get to those 20-some-year-old years, they're the ones that stand out. They're the ones that lead the way. They're the ones that are considering the variables. They're the ones that are asking the questions. They're the ones who step up and go, "Eh, this might not be a good idea." And I figured that's the best I can do, right? Is set them up for success by having these risk management skills that are instilled in them in a way that it just seems natural. They're not even going to question it. So that they can be the leaders when they find themselves in those situations.
And keep not just themselves safe, but their peers safe too.
Hopefully. And or, you know when to walk away. Yeah, I've had one of my children has had to do that before where he was in an environment where some kids, he was skiing with some other kids. They wanted to go one way and he felt it was a really bad choice. And so, you know, he went around and met them at the bottom of that run. I would have preferred those kids had gone with him, you know, like I would have preferred. They said, yeah, maybe it's not a good idea and followed his lead. But I am grateful that he had the confidence in that social situation to make his own choice.
Oh, that's powerful. That is so powerful. Nellie, I have 3 minutes. Where can we find you online and learn more about what you do?
So the best way to find me online right now is I have an educational website called RaisingLittleRippers.com.
Okay.
And I also am very active on Instagram at Raising Little Rippers. But honestly, the best way to keep in touch and stay in line with what's going on, especially with all these new programs I'm going to be starting, is to join my newsletter. So I'm not sure if we can share a link. I can send something your way just to make it easy for people to sign up if they want to.
Yeah, absolutely. We will share all those links and encourage people to check out your newsletter, follow you on social media, and then come ski with you on Whitefish Mountain.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it. I think what you're doing is so important and so valuable and so needed within not just the ski community, but the outdoor industry. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. You know, it's bigger than me. And so sometimes I get a little overwhelmed and wondering where it's all going to lead. But it's just another adventure, right? One foot and then the other.
Yeah, I think it's so needed. Hey, Nellie, I want to go skiing with you. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Nellie. She's cool, right? And she is doing so many neat things to just shake it up. And I appreciate that. So if you want to learn more about Nellie, if you want to learn more about our Hike Like Woman Summit, or if you want to learn what my kids are doing in the kitchen right now, head on over to our website, hikelikeawoman.com. There you'll be able to click that little tab that says Summit, and you'll find out about our speakers, our schedule, and how you can join us for the largest virtual conference by and for outdoor women. Thanks so much. I'll catch you on the slopes.